The groundbreaking all-electric Kia EV9, the 2024 Drive Car of the Year. Find out more at kia.com.au. And Toolmart, the complete tool centre, serving WA for over 40 years. This is Sports Day.
Yeah, it's great to have you company here on Sports Day WA with Peter Vlahos on this Tuesday. And as I said, the text line is there, 0487 736 736, wherever you may be listening across the state. Give us your thoughts. There may be a country footballer that you thought was the most accurate that you had ever seen lining up for goals. This next gentleman I'm about to introduce to you on Friday night at the Sydney Cricket Ground will be inducted into the New South Wales Australian Football Hall of Fame. He retired some years ago, the first player to kick 1,000 goals in what's known as the AFL Black Diamond competition on the central coast of New South Wales. He's got a very familiar and very important surname in the aspect of Australian sport. His surname is Goolagong. His Christian name is Morris, and he joins us on the program right now. Morris, thanks for your time.
How are we, mate? We going good?
Yeah, I've got you in Woi Woi. What's Woi Woi like today?
Yeah, Woi Woi's raining, mate. It's we've had showers all day today, so it's not pleasant, but usually it's a very nice place to be.
Now, I've given everybody an indication of what you have achieved when it comes to Australian rules football. Now, the New South Wales Australian Football Hall of Fame will take place at a gala dinner on May the 3rd at the Sydney Cricket Ground, and Morris Goolagong will be inducted into that New South Wales AFL Hall of Fame. What does that mean to you?
Mate, it means a lot to me. I was very humble and proud when I got the news. I thought it was a hoax, actually, when I first heard about it, But I got an email saying that I was inducted into the AFL Hall of Fame, mate, and it was something that I'll cherish for the rest of my life.
So do you have to go out and buy a suit?
Yes, mate, I did that the last couple of weeks, me and my son, actually, and bought a suit each, and so we spent a bit of money on that, and we head out there Friday night.
Tell us about your history when it comes to Australian rules football. You piled your trade across the state's central coast region. Tell us how it all came together for you from an early age.
Mate, I originally started playing in a little country town called Burellan, where my auntie was originally from, Auntie Yvonne, the tennis player.
Yes.
So I originally started playing AFL there when I was 8 years old. So I couldn't play rugby league. I was originally from a rugby league town, which is from Hillston, which is about an hour and a half further on from where I played. And so I got into AFL because they didn't have it for juniors, and that's where I started my career. And then, went from there right up to under-14s. Left there, went over to Wagga, moved to Wagga, played 2 years at Wagga in the Farrow League, and won a league best and fairest there, actually, at centre-half back, playing centre-half back. And then moved to the Central Coast in 94 and started playing here for Woi Woi. And then from 98 onwards, I played with Terrigal, the Boca Panthers, here on the Central Coast.
You mentioned...
You all right?
Yeah, you mentioned Arnie Yvonne. Did she ever come down to come and see you play?
No, she never had time, not really, to watch me play. But I had a lot of other family members come and watch play through my career. But, she's never seen me play a game of AFL.
Well, she won the Australian Open tennis-wise, four times, the French Open, Wimbledon. Did you ever think of taking up tennis?
No, I could hit a ball, so it was in the blood, I suppose. My father, he was obviously, him and my auntie Barb were older, but they were a lot better tennis players, but just didn't take that up either. But Dad was a good footballer, AFL and rugby league, so it was in my blood, I suppose. And I love kicking a football around, so it was something I found my passion in.
I tell you what, the Goolagong must have been a great sporting family all round. You mentioned about your father and the extended family. They all took to sport, yeah. I gather.
Yeah, we did, yeah. The youngest one in that sibling family, like my dad's youngest brother, he was a golfer. he turned professional for a little bit over in America.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, Uncle Ian, he played tennis with Honey Yvonne. So, yeah, it was a massive big sporting family. I suppose in a little country town, that's all you could do. And that's the fun that you had to do. So, it was all about sport.
Well, let's talk about you, Morris. 1,000 goals in the AFL Black Diamond competition, and you achieved that feat a few years ago. I think it was 2011. But in one season, it really stood out. You kicked 112 goals and just 13 behinds. Now, I broadcast AFL football for the SEN network, and what I get really disappointed with is the ability of certain forwards in most clubs from about 35 metres out directly in front, not kicking it through the major opening. What made you so accurate?
First off, it was 135 goals, 12 goals I missed.
135 goals, was it?
Yeah, 135 goals, I missed 12 goals. I missed 135 goals, 12 points.
Okay, the information I got was incorrect. I'm glad you clarified that. But that, your accuracy is incredible. How did you become so accurate?
When I was growing up in Burrellan, I lived just around the corner from the football oval. So I'd always have a football, went around. And when I was kicking for goals, I didn't actually kick for goals. I was kicking the post. So I aim for the point post, goal post, goal post, point post, and I work my way around the arc, and that's how I got my accuracy and my muscle memory of kicking it straight and getting the accuracy in that way. And then obviously when it come to game days, I'd still aim for the post, but I'd use the wind and all that factor into it to put the ball where I needed it to go.
So before you went home after training, you made sure you hit the two behind posts and the two goal posts before you went home?
Did it before training. I did it just days off, when I just go around there during the day and just go and practice kicking the ball to hit the post and to get my accuracy that way. So
I tell you what, Morris, I reckon AFL clubs should look at you and get you down as a goal kicking specialist. I reckon you could teach some of these professionals a few lessons.
Yeah, and I mean, I watch the AFL now these days, and kicking around the corner and doing all that sort of stuff. And but from the way I used to practice, it's just about the way I dropped the ball on my foot. It's just the way I, put in consideration what was happening on the day with the wind and all that sort of stuff, and obviously, and then not going past your limitations of how far you could kick, because if you try to kick the ball too hard, that's when your accuracy and your body gets out of line, and it's when you're kicking them, to the left or to the right or whatever that side. So
what was
knowing your limitations.
What was your comfortable range out from goal? Was it 40? Was it 50? Was it 35? What was your comfortable range?
Comfortable range was in between 40 and 50 metres. So, and obviously, if the wind was behind me, then I could kick, 55, 60 metres sort of thing, but as I said, it depends on the day and what way we're going with the wind and all that sort of stuff. I make sure I used to get the games early and make sure, see how the weather was and go and have a look at the ground and do all that sort of stuff. And So
you did a lot of the homework that maybe a lot of AFL full forwards don't use these days. Saying that, your biggest haul was 25 goals in one game. Is that correct?
That's right. That's the year I kicked 135 goals and 12 points.
How many points did you kick in that game when you kicked 25 goals?
I think it was only about three or four.
And what was the team score? Do you remember?
Oh, I was way over 200, but I was behind in the leading goal kicking there at that time. I was behind by 7 or 8 goals or something. And he kicked 12 goals that day, and I kicked 25 and won by 7, I think, or 6 goals or something, I think it was.
Mm. Did you ever
he had it in the bag.
Did you ever get overtures to maybe go to the Big Smoke, maybe go to Sydney and maybe play in any of the city leagues?
Well, I did play for St. George for one season. I played there against Pennant Hills and all them sort of teams, like the local city teams. Played there for a season, then I went out to the country and played out there for a season as well. I did a bit of travelling.
You were known as the park footy plugger after Tony Lockett. Have you ever met Plugger?
That's right. No, I've never met him. I'll hopefully meet him Sunday on Friday night.
How excited are you about it? Are you a bit of a personality, or do you think in some ways you might be a bit shy and bashful, knowing that you're going to be in the New South Wales AFL Hall of Fame and there will be some luminaries there?
Yes, no, I'll be pretty shy, actually. I'm a pretty shy guy. Like, I don't go up and approach people too often. But, yeah, I mean, if they're happy to have the conversation or, you know, happy to meet him, it'd be a pleasure to meet him, actually. But, yeah, but I'm not the one to sort of go out of my way and go up and introduce myself sort of thing. So.
Have you been told how the ceremony will go? Will you have to go up on stage and say a few words?
No, I haven't heard anything yet, as yet. So all I know is we've got to be there by 5 o'clock. Getting inducted, and then they're doing, I think they've got 10 or 12 players that they're putting into legendary status or legendary people for the inductees. So, But I haven't heard of it, whether I've got to do a speech or anything like that. So I hope not, because I haven't prepared one.
There's actually, well, if you go up on stage, you'll probably have to thank a couple of people. Who would you thank?
I think one of my older sisters. She used to take me to a lot of games. She was one of the large sisters that I drove all the way back from Swan Hill to the Central Coast for a grand final one night. So one day, so they left at 2 o'clock in the morning, and we drove all the way back from Swan Hill to Wyong. Yeah. And played in the grand final. But my mum, obviously, my dad, for the time that they spent through, especially through my junior career, and obviously my kids for coming and watching. I mean, they were pretty young when I was playing, but they were pretty much at every game. Mm. They're the people I'd thank.
And finally,
and obviously the people around the club as well, around the club and the people that, you know, the players that I played with and stuff like that. So
that's a fantastic story. When I saw this story, I said, I've got to speak to Morris. So this is a great story, and no doubt it's going to be a special night for you there at the Sydney Cricket Ground. Have you got a favourite footballer while you were playing? Is there some footballer that you looked up to?
Michael Long was one of the players I looked up to when I was playing. And Gavin Wanganeen was another player I loved watching. Admired playing, and obviously Tony Lockett, and later on in his life, you know, watching Buddy Franklin play as well.
Have you met any of those individuals?
Yes, I've met Michael Long. He was at a wedding because I'm good friends with Nova Paris.
Oh right,
and he was at Nova's wedding. Yeah, he was at Nova's wedding. My mate married Nova up in Darwin 10, 12 years ago.
Fantastic.
And I've met Buddy. I met because I do a little bit of work with the Swans Academy. So we got an Indigenous Swans Academy started up here along the East Coast line. And I've met Buddy last year at the Swans headquarters. Yeah.
What a footballer he was! So. You know where he came from, Morris? What part of Australia he came from?
No,
not. He came from the West Coast. Little country town called Dowran, which is probably a couple of hours out of Perth. There you go, Morris. I'm telling you something. When you have a chat to Buddy on the special night, you can tell him that, okay?
Yep. I will, for sure.
Congratulations. It's an incredible achievement. One of 100 inaugural inductees into the New South Wales Australian Football Hall of Fame, Morris Goolagong. Yep. I'd love to have seen you play, mate. I'd love to have seen you play. To kick the goals you did and to be so accurate, you'd probably go down as probably the most accurate kicker on goal in Australia, I reckon. I don't think there's been anyone that's been as accurate as you have.
No, that's why, like, with my big body frame too, a lot of people couldn't understand how well I kicked the ball and how quick I was over the first 20 metres. So if you Google, if you YouTube my name, Morris Goolagong 10 ton, you'll see me. There's a video up there of kicking my 1,000th goal.
Good on you. I'm going to look at it right now. Thanks for joining us, Morris.
No worries,
it's been a pleasure. Congratulations and enjoy the night.
Thanks, mate. Talk to you soon.
Morris Goolagong joining us, and I'm just actually doing that. Morris Goolagong, 10 ton, he said, on YouTube. So that's a celebration of his 1,000th goal. I hope you enjoyed that. Something a bit different, but in the end, he's been bestowed by the New South Wales AFL as a Hall of Famer. He's been inducted at the SCG, a special presentation in the Noble Room there at the Sydney Cricket Ground on Friday night. And as he mentioned, he's gone out and he's bought a suit. He's going with his son. And as I said, he's made a significant contribution to the code in New South Wales. A key forward he was, and he developed a goal-kicking technique through that unusual training method of hitting the behind post, then the goal post, then the goal post, and then another behind post to try and improve his accuracy. And it certainly worked, kicking in one season 135 goals, as he said, 12 behinds. Quite incredible. All right, we've got it. Morris Goolagong kicking his 1,000th goal. We'll play that into the break in just a moment. But some breaking news out of the NRL. Jason Demetriou, the coach of the South Sydney Rabbitohs, has just been sacked, effective immediately. There was a crunch board meeting at 5 o'clock Sydney time, and it's just broken out. And Jason Demetriou is no longer the coach of the South Sydney Rabbitohs. Souths copped a 54-20 hammering by the Storm on Anzac Day, and that was the final nail in his coaching coffin. After a run of terrible results, Souths were top of the table after 11 rounds last season before a stunning fall from grace saw them miss the finals. And at the moment, they've only had one solitary win over the Bulldogs and six losses to start 2024, and they're anchored at the bottom of the table. Demetriou coached Souths to 31 wins from 60 games for a winning percentage of 51.67, including one preliminary final appearance in 2022. And prior to that, he was assistant coach under Wayne Bennett during his three-year tenure at the Bunnies. So just some breaking news in the elite of the NRL. The fact that Jason Demetriou has effectively been sacked with immediate effect at a crunch board meeting of the Rabbitohs board earlier this afternoon. We'll take a break. As we go to the break, here he is, Morris Goolagong, kicking his 1,000th goal. Here it is.
Can you believe it? 20 seconds to go, and he's about 20 metres out, Goolagong, and he needs just one goal for 1,000, and they're 5 points behind. Right now, my cat Holly's looking at me. She thinks I'm really strange, but that's okay. That's okay. The big crowd gets set. Goolagong goes back. Pressure. Talk about pressure. Set. Goes in, goes bang, and drills, and Goolagong's got the 1,000, and his team have got the next 5 points. What a moment! What a moment! 1,000 goals, you'll never see it again. Yeah.
The groundbreaking all-electric Kia EV9, the 2024 drive car of the year. Find out more at kia.com.au. And Toolmar, the complete tool centre, serving WA for over 40 years. This is Sports Day.